welcome to episode 151 of the Chase the Red Grape podcast. I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
And today we are going to talk about our experience of the second trimester. So in case you missed the first one, we did our experience of the first trimester, and now we're recapping the second trimester.
Yep.
So that's, the first trimester is from 0 weeks to 12 weeks, and the second trimester is from 12 weeks to 28 weeks.
There you go.
So there you are. Just in case you didn't know.
Yeah, it's all maths.
So where we are now, we are on week 32. So we are 4 weeks into the third trimester. And the third trimester is like nothing else. But I'm sure we will get around to talking about that. Probably in conjunction with some sort of birth story.
Exactly, yeah.
Kind of thing, maybe. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
There does seem to be very distinct phases, you know, through each trimester, which makes sense. That's why they split them up. You know, there seems to be differences for each one.
I think us recapping the first trimester was so important for us because we felt like there was nobody out there talking about the first trimester because a lot of people keep it under the hush, you know, until they know that everything's okay with the baby and things like that. Whereas second trimester, you tend to be more vocal about it because most people know you're pregnant and, you know, everything's out in the air. So you do tend to find things more about the second trimester, but we felt that it was still important for us to recap it because, you know, it's just, it's our story and everyone's story is different. And it's sometimes nice just to hear these different stories.
Yeah, just to hear how other people were during this time. It might be completely different to how you were, or it might be elements that are the same. We just have to, we'll tell you our story and that's all we can do.
But I'll tell you something, the second trimester really, really was the trimester of two halves. So you had the teens and you had the 20s. And they were literally polar opposites. And it's insane how different you felt between the two. So we'll talk about the teens first. So that's week 12 to week 20. It's really, really long, a really long time. That 8 weeks just felt like, just felt really crazy. And it was strange because for me, it came at the time of year where it was the run up to Christmas. So normally that goes quite fast.
Yeah.
But I think because there was a variety of reasons why I think the teens go slow for quite a lot of people. And I think the first thing is you still don't look very pregnant.
No.
You might have a little bump or a little pooch or, you know, something that you notice and your partner probably notices.
Yeah.
But to everybody else, you could definitely get away with people thinking that you're not pregnant.
Yeah, just walking down the street. You know, especially at that time of year, because it was winter, you're wearing jumpers and jackets, you know, you're hiding whatever tiny bump there was under more and more things. It's not like you're even showing a little bit in a summer dress or something like that.
Yeah. I think even in the summer, I think like t-shirts and stuff, unless you were wearing something really figure hugging, you probably wouldn't even notice. And I think because of this, you start to wish the weeks away. You start to wish that like time would really go fast, because for me, I just wanted to look pregnant so that people would, you know, see that I was. And I know that sounds really silly in a way, but I wanted it for me because, like, I wanted to see my baby growing.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, when you hit week 12, suddenly all those first trimester symptoms don't just go away. You know, you don't just suddenly start feeling better and not nauseous anymore.
No.
I think for me, it was probably around about week 15-ish that I started to feel better from nausea. It just gradually started getting better. And I think that, I mean, I was definitely very pleased about that. I was expecting it to take a bit longer.
Right.
You know, I wasn't expecting to hit week 12 and suddenly everything would be okay. But, you know, I think there are a lot of other symptoms out there, bar nausea, that you know, it's only once you're pregnant that people start to go, oh, well, yeah, technically they are first trimester symptoms, but, you know, they could go into the second trimester, or you could just have them throughout your entire pregnancy.
Yeah, it seems to be there's a list of symptoms, and it just seems to be that things get added to it. Nothing gets taken away. It's just like, oh, you've got three new ones. You know, you've unlocked these.
Yeah.
Like, great.
Well, I mean, I get an email every week that tells me, you know, kind of where my progress is with the baby. And it's literally that. There's a list of symptoms, and it's everything from the first trimester, yeah, everything from the second trimester. And it's literally, you just get, you know, it's like a computer game.
That's
you've
what I mean.
You've unlocked the next five. Well done. You're suddenly going to start getting headaches. Yay.
It's like, oh, yay. Great. And even to the point now where even in that email, they'll list the main ones. And then sometimes they'll just do a bullet point and kind of go, and everything else. Like, they're almost like, we can't be bothered listing everything now.
There's just too many. Don't worry. Like, if I look at these symptoms lists of all the different things that you could potentially not feel so great from, I don't even think, I think maybe a quarter of them I've experienced, and maybe just a handful of them I've suffered from. So, like, one of them would be like nausea. I definitely suffered from that. But yeah, there's only about a handful of them that I suffered from. A quarter of them I experienced. And then the rest, I'm like, no, I've been quite lucky that I haven't developed any of them.
It's a pretty generic list of maybes.
So don't worry if you've got some that other people you know never had, or, you know, vice versa. Everybody's body in pregnancy reacts different ways. So don't worry. Because of that, you're trying to figure out what's normal.
Mm.
You're trying to know what, you know, what you're really desperate for information, I think, during this teen period, because you have had your 12-week scan, you've seen the baby, you know everything's okay, hopefully, and you just start to feel like, well, what's normal? What should I be feeling right now? Because you can't really see a bump. You don't really, you know, you're not having any movements or anything. So it's, well, apart from these symptoms, do I really feel pregnant? And I think towards the end of the teens, because for most people, a lot of the nausea and sickness goes, you start to actually get some energy back. You start to feel better. And then you're like, oh, well, this is great for like a health perspective. But at the same time, you know, at least I know this may sound a bit odd, but for me, at least the nausea tied me to being pregnant, if that made sense. Okay.
Yeah, that was one of the main things that showed or proved that it was real.
Yeah.
So when that goes, but it isn't replaced with, you know, a bump and a kicking thing, there's kind of a gap where you're just like, ah, right, okay, so what do I have now? I've got loads of energy. Well, that's fine.
I think if I would give anybody who's in the teens of pregnancy, the teen weeks, if I give them any advice, it would be there is no normal. So don't try and, you know, think that if I do or don't have these symptoms, if I'm feeling this way or not feeling this way, that's the right or wrong thing to do. There's no normal.
I also seen that, like, almost on a daily basis, something would have changed. So even if you were like feeling one way for 2 or 3 days, that would then shift again. So your normal wasn't normal anymore, but it probably should be changing, but so you can't keep up with it. So if you try and draw a line in the sand to kind of go, this is now my normal, very quickly it's going to move from that. And then that could either worry you or just confuse you. So it's,
just go with the flow. That's what I'd say. And I think the final thing about the teens is you're really wishing the weeks away, because you know that your 20-week scan is such a huge checkpoint. You know, it's the last scan you'll have. It's more detailed, and, you know, it's a major checkpoint. So you're really, really focused on that. And because you've got that date to focus on, time goes slower, I think. Right, so the 20s. 20-week scan is here. So that week that you hit 20 weeks pregnant, you will have your scan booked in. And it's such a big deal and you're excited about it, but you're also nervous about it at the same time, because this scans in so much more detail, and because it's called the anomaly scan. That's what they call it in the hospital. Yeah. So it is literally the scan to find out if there's anything wrong.
Yeah, well, the baby's a bit bigger than it was, well, a lot bigger than it was at 12 weeks. They can start to see the detail of the brain, the heart, the bone structure, all these things.
All the major organs are starting to develop, so they can see where the potential issues might be, and they're also measuring as well. So you go in, and I wasn't nervous, but I was definitely erring on the side of caution, shall we say. You know, I went in and I was thinking to myself, okay, I can be happy and everything could be better and everything will be fine once I just know that everything's okay with the baby. And it's within this scan that you can find out the sex if you want to, which is, you know, quite an exciting thing if that's what you choose to do. And so it really is the scan of two halves.
Yeah, it's a difficult one between, before then you need to make sure that the baby's okay. So you're excited to see it again, but at the same time you don't know potentially what's going on. Up until that point we hadn't had any obvious issues or anything, like we kind of just followed the set, you know, go see the midwife at this point, blah blah blah, no scaries. But you still don't know what's going on because you don't have a window into the baby until now. So there's that kind of, when you first see it and you kind of, you're happy there, but then the sonographer's doing their thing and, you know, they've got to do their job and measure this and that. So you don't know if what they're doing is normal. You know, well, is them checking that, is that standard?
Well, we were quite lucky because our sonographer said to us, if I'm really quiet, it's just because I'm capturing everything I need to. It's not necessarily because there's anything wrong. And I'm so glad she said that to me, because then I felt fine at the fact that she was being really quiet, because I was like, no, she's just doing her job. Why is she being quiet? Why is she not talking to me?
Yeah, I've gone really quiet because there's something really, really bad and now I need to like delve way into this. It was just, I need to go through my checklist and tick it off almost. But I need to concentrate on that. I can't be chatting about, oh, so what are you up to this weekend? Because that will distract me.
And don't worry if they ask you to change different positions. I got asked to go on my side. I got the bed like tilted, like
upside down
almost. I was like holding on to the sides because that's just what they needed to do to find the baby. I even needed to go to the toilet because they wanted to make my bladder empty so that they could see even more. There was nothing wrong with that. It was just that was the way that they needed to do it.
That was just for one measurement. And even the sonographer was like, well, we'll give it a go. Probably won't work, but we'll give it a go. And then it did. And she was like, oh, well, that was good.
Yeah. And it's really funny because it wasn't that there was any problems or anything like that. It was just that our baby wanted to move.
Yeah.
And they needed to get it still and in the one place so that they could get particular measurements. So, yeah, just try and relax a bit. But at the same time, if you're feeling like a bit anxious about it or a bit stressed about it or a bit worried, that's okay too.
Yeah, one question I might have asked you at the time, but it popped into my head just now. So the way, at least in our place, that it was set up, the sonographer's screen is really hard to see, I think, from where you're lying. So I was kind of sat at the side, so I could see quite a lot going on, kind of. But even still, that wasn't a perfect view until she moved it. So was it a bit weird that you actually couldn't really see very much until she physically moved the screen and was like, here is such and such? Or were you just like, right, just do your job? And
I'm quite happy. I was quite happy not to see the screen. I couldn't see a thing. Like, I couldn't see the screen at all.
Yeah, you were basically behind it almost.
And I was just, in my mind, in the way I think, I was just like, no, 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 no. I want you to do your job.
Yeah.
I want you to do it thoroughly. And therefore, you need to be seeing the screen, yeah. not me. And when it came to her capturing pictures or her showing, you know, turning around the screen and showing me, I was really happy to see those moments. Yeah. But at the same time, I was like, this is really cool for you, David, because you can see so much and you can see what's going on. And I was really pleased that you got to see that, because I get this thing growing inside me, you don't.
Yeah.
So it was nice that you got to see, you know, some pictures and things like that. But ultimately, I just wanted her to do her job thoroughly and know if everything was fine.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention it because it's not a picture that I had in my head beforehand of how that works. No. So I don't want people to go into it going, I'm going to be able to watch the whole scan, well, because that, you might not.
Well, that's the thing. On like TV and films yeah. and stuff, you see, you know, the couple being able to see the screen the whole time it's going yeah. on. Being like, oh, look at them move, look at this, da, 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 da. And it's like, no, it doesn't work like that.
No, no, no. And it was only because of where my chair was, and I still had to kind of lean across a little bit. But I was quite lucky because when she was going through her checklist, she has to push buttons and then take a picture to capture it. So luckily I could read sometimes what the thing was that she was scanning, even though like it would be like brain, and it'd be like, oh yeah, of course, that's the brain. I can see that totally. It was all mushy squiggles to me, but it was at least I could kind of
yeah.
you know, figure it out.
But does the worry end when you find out all is well as predicted? No. I had told myself that I would be really happy and more relaxed and less worried if I got told that everything was okay at the 20-week scan. As long as that's okay, I'll be fine. And then, you know, you're happy for a wee while, then you start to think, okay, right, there's other things now to think about. Now that you've got the 20-week scan.
Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, this entire pregnancy, it's not like I've sat here worrying about things. So it's got nothing to do with that. I think it's just don't put all your eggs in one basket thinking that once the 20-week scan's done, you'll feel, you know, relaxed and not unconcerned about other things. You will still, there will be another timeline marker.
Yeah, I kind of feel like forever there'll be something that we could be worried about, even when they're born. You know, something will come along, or are they sleeping? Are they not sleeping? Are they breathing? Are they not? There'll always going to be something.
David, they'll be 16 years old and we'll be worried about them.
Exactly.
But it does feel different after. Like once you've had that scan, you almost feel like, okay, there's a proper baby in there, you know, and it really looks like a baby, and, you know, there's definitely something there.
I think between the two scans as well, what really struck me was in the first picture, the whole baby fits in the picture. And then in the second one that we have, it's like their head and a little bit of their body. And it's like, okay, this is growing.
The first few weeks of the 20s, we're pretty much the same as the teens, really. I can't remember the first time I felt them move.
Mm.
By the way, when I say them, it is just one baby. We're just having one. We're just using the...
Gender neutral.
Yeah.
Not to confuse, like, my friend that every time I say them, they're like, are you definitely not having twins? No, it's not twins.
I can't remember when I first felt the movement. Not exactly. I can't remember the exact week. But, you know, it was just these little flutters, like you were having butterflies.
Yeah.
Occasionally in your tummy. And for a while, I was like, I don't know if this is really the baby moving or if it's trap wind. Or if it's just my tummy gurgling, or...
Am I hungry?
Yeah. So for a while, I kind of very much doubted that they were movements. But then they slowly start coming more and more. And, you know, one day you'll get a kick. And it's... For me, it was quite funny because I definitely got a kick.
Yeah.
And I went, nah, that can't be a kick. No, that's not a kick. I'll wait until I get another one and then I'll be like, okay, that's a kick. So you're just awaiting these movements. I think they said anything from about week 22 onwards was like common to get movements. I know some people who it took a bit longer, and some people who were having a moving and grooving baby by that point. So don't compare. But you get told at your 22-week appointment to watch for the baby's movements changing and slowing down. And if that's the case, then you have to contact your hospital and they will get you in to check things. And our baby decided on Tuesday on week 26 to just not move for the entire morning.
Yeah, you basically woke up, kind of sat there for a bit. Normally you would get something and it was just like,
nothing. Went to CrossFit, jumped up and down, nothing. Came home, had some food, nothing.
Yeah.
And we were just like, no, this isn't right. This isn't normal. It's not like what I've been feeling. I've normally felt the baby at least at some point during the morning. So we phoned up the hospital and talked to the midwife there. And they said for us to come in and they would check it out.
Yeah, all very calm.
Like, very calm. Yeah. I was upset.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was just wanting everything to be okay. But from the moment we arrived, they were so kind and considerate and just constantly kept on telling me, no, you did the right thing, you did the right thing, you did the right thing. So they first hooked us up to a monitor to monitor my heartbeat and the baby's heartbeat. Baby's heartbeat was there, pounding away.
Yeah, no issue.
The monitor they put you on, they say that it can last from 10 minutes to an hour, but once the monitor is picked up enough to kind of be like, yep, no, everything's okay,
yeah,
it will beep and
you're done.
We were there about 25 minutes
probably from when they left us to it, as it were.
Yeah. And I think it was probably for 5 minutes it had actually, the color had changed to say everything was okay. And I just hadn't noticed.
Yeah, because it didn't go beep or anything. Just a little green light comes on.
So, but after that, they were like, yep, no, everything, the heartbeat's fine. How are you feeling? And I was like, well, I still haven't felt the baby move. I think I'd maybe felt like an odd movement, but I hadn't felt anything.
Yeah, I think that machine does pick up movements as well. I think that's part of it, is like the rumbles, as it were.
Kind of, but I was supposed to also click the button when I did feel the baby move, and I only did that once.
So
and I was just like, to be honest, I'm still concerned because I haven't felt the baby move. And they were like, that's fine, we'll book you in for a scan later on this afternoon.
Yep.
And that's what we did. We went home and we came back and we had another scan with the sonographer, and it was hilarious, actually. The sonographer actually struggled to record all the different measurements because the baby was moving so much.
Yeah, and she was like, can you not feel that? And for whatever reason, obviously, she said 2 or 3 times, even at week 26, as much as we're like, oh my gosh, it's this great big baby inside of you, they're relatively small. Mm-hmm. So there's quite a lot of space for them to, you know, jiggle about. And they must have just gotten into a bit that was, weren't feeling it.
I'm quite tall as well. So the babies had quite a lot of room to move about. So
they were like all over the shop.
They did a full measurement profile, checked everything was okay, and everything was absolutely perfect. Baby was moving around. I was starting to feel, because of course when the sonographer is like sticking that little thingy all over your tummy, of course like the baby's going to start going and then of course I was starting to feel it then, but was obviously just having a bit more of a quiet day. But even the sonographer, you did the right thing. You did the right thing. don't hesitate to do it if this happens again.
Yeah, and they were very clear that being hooked up to that machine was a snapshot in time. So if tomorrow, same thing happened again, come back in. You know, it's not a, well, now you're good for 2 weeks kind of thing. And as you said, everyone was super, you know, happy, calm. Okay, let's get this done. It was, as much as you can say, routine. You know, they weren't panicking. They weren't, you know, it was just very calm, you know, get everything done. While we're here, we'll take a couple of extra measurements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we might as well. I think we had a trainee as well, so they were learning some stuff. But it was nice and light and friendly and chatty and all these things. And you did kind of go away going, okay, I'm all right, but I did the right thing. If it happens again, we'll go back in.
Yeah. And touch wood, it hasn't happened again, and touch wood, it won't. But
yeah,
I won't hesitate to call them if I need to because of how they were.
Yeah.
I think that I did get a few new symptoms. I had about just under a week where I got tinnitus, and I never realized that is pregnancy tinnitus is a thing. I was very pleased that it only lasted about 5 days, but I have very perceptive hearing as it is, and I have had the odd bouts of tinnitus before in my life, but it's normally been in association with, you know, picking up a bug or a virus or something like that, or when I've been just unwell with a cold or something. But this was horrible, and I'm really glad it only lasted 5 days. Tiredness returns towards the end of the second trimester. That tiredness that you had in the first trimester returns, but it makes sense because the baby's growing.
Yeah, well, they're basically really stealing all of your, you know, food.
Yeah, and the changes come really quickly. So you will find that one day you will just wake up and look in the mirror and you're like, holy crap, this bump has grown.
And I think we had that. There was, I can't remember exactly what week, but it seemed to be there was one week where every single day it was just like, oh my goodness, this is bigger. Or I had this t-shirt on like 3 days ago and now I can't fit.
No, that was the third trimester.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
But no, even in the second trimester, you will notice that your bump grows. You could find that nothing seems to grow for a week, and then you have a week of just growth. And speaking of body changes, your body makes the biggest changes, I think, in the 20s compared to what you've had before. And I loved it. I really love seeing my body change. I love seeing this bump grow. I have loved every single moment about it. And it's really odd because all the information that you read on pregnancy sites or on apps or just even in, you know, information that you've been given from your medical provider, it's always on the negative. It's always that people will feel bad about their body changing. People will feel bad about their bump growing, their tummy growing. And everything is about, you know, don't feel bad. This is just what your baby needs to do. Or don't look at all these new quote-unquote flaws that you've got.
Yeah.
And I found that really amazing because I know that everybody will view this differently because everybody's bump's going to come differently and everybody has different starting points in their body. But I just wish that the narrative that was out there wasn't automatically negative and then, oh, well, good for you if you feel good about it. I wish it was just a bit more neutral so that it wasn't telling you you will feel bad about this.
Or you should.
Or you should.
Because it did. It seemed to start with that. It's like, you will be noticing your body is changing. And this is okay. And it's like, I was okay with it before you said this. And depending on the type of person you are, you might be like, you know, either very obviously or subconsciously kind of going, oh, well, I was feeling okay, but should I not be? Or maybe I'll have another look or whatever. It just seemed to be a little bit too common that something would be mentioned and then straight away going, don't worry, or this is normal, or...
I think the only area where I think talking about that kind of thing was okay was when it mentioned that people feel like it's okay to talk about your growing bump. People yeah. feel like they can comment on it. So some people will get told, oh, your bump looks really small. You don't look like you're 25 weeks pregnant, or your bump's a bit big for 25 weeks pregnant, or yeah. whatever. There is no set size for a size of bump. There isn't. There is no normal for a bump size.
There's also no reason to say anything about someone else's bump.
Yes.
Because saying something is too small or too big, either is potentially a negative to that person. And so you just don't bloody talk about it.
You know what? It's mostly other women who will be like, oh, when I was at your stage, I wasn't that small, or I was bigger.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I guarantee, like, I can't even remember what my bump looked like at, say, week 25.
Yeah.
I guarantee that 8 years later, you probably don't remember what your bump looked like at week 25. Yeah. So stop the nonsense.
Like just turning around to somebody and going, oh, your head's quite small. Like, what? What does that matter? Like, oh, your brain must be tiny. Like, what? Yeah. No.
let's just put it down to, like, pregnant or not, nobody should comment on somebody else's body.
Yeah.
Just shut up. Okay. And the only other thing we're going to talk about when it comes to the second trimester is the fact that we did our hypnobirthing course in the second trimester towards the end. It was a course that was run locally over 3 Saturdays.
Yep.
We did 3 hours.
Yeah, it was every a Saturday. Long session each time.
Long session, but went so fast.
Oh, yeah, really, really good.
It was really, really good. There was only 4 couples there.
Including us.
So it was... Well, let's just really... Hypnobirthing, it's not a hippy-dippy thing. It's not where they talk about how to have the perfect birth in this zen zone and everything's perfect and everything's wonderful and you have no interventions, nothing like that. And you just breathe out this baby and everything's really calm. It's nothing like that. So if that's what you think the hypnobirthing's about... You really need to just get your facts straight.
Yeah.
Put it that way. It's about reimagining birth. It's about ending the stereotypes, all the negative stereotypes out there, all these films and TV programs we watch where people just talk about pain and negativity and things going wrong and things being just awful and people being in labor for 8 days and, you know, all these like horror stories that you see and hear. Please remember that when it comes to what you're seeing on TV, you're only going to see what is entertaining. And entertaining normally comes in the form of when things go wrong or where things are hard or when things have issues.
Like drama.
Yeah. Like even if you take the program One Born Every Minute, they're not going to show something that was calm and easy and no issues or anything happened. No. That's not entertaining.
Yeah. Or if they do, they'll do that one where you've got someone like humming a Nordic tune with flutes or something weird, like next to the person that's like really, really struggling.
And effing and blinding and everything because like that.
Because it shows that the other person's weird.
So hypnobirthing is all about preparing you for birth. It's about empowering you. So that you know all the details about birth, so you know what you're entitled to, you know what you're allowed to question, you know what, you know, you know all the details of labour and your choices around that.
Yeah, they were very clear on the fact that, well, this is from a UK point of view anyway, there is like something called birth rights. So the midwives and the doctors will maybe suggest things, but it is... within your birthrights to say yes, no,
or
can
us.
We try this first? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
You don't just have to go yes, sir, no, sir.
Yeah.
Let's do whatever you
and
say.
And you're allowed to ask questions. And then there's also a part where it's about relaxing your body. Your body, you will not have a positive birth if you are tense, if you are stressed, if you are anxious, you will not have generally a good day in life if you're tense, you're stressed and anxious. So how you think that going through the process of labor would be any good. So it's giving you tools to allow you to relax, tools to allow you to be more confident. And something that I think is really, really important about hypnobirthing is it gives your partner a role in all this, and it clearly defines what their role is and that they have a major part to play in all this.
Yeah, so it's almost the logic of, so in our example, Jen's kind of busy trying to get a baby out. So I need to be the one that kind of is the middle person between her and all of the medical and midwife type people to make sure that everything's okay. So she gave an example of a midwife coming in and saying, well, I'm going off shift now, and then spouting, you know, seven different things. And Jen can't deal with that right now. She's a bit busy. She doesn't necessarily know what she wants for lunch. And what, who was that person called, Mary? I don't know who you're on about. What? So it's up to me to kind of filter that, take that in and go, right, I've understood everything you're saying. And basically just going, she'll have that for lunch.
Yeah. And I think also as well, if your partner doesn't have a clue what's going on, how are they going to be your advocate?
Yeah.
You know, it's about the things that we need to discuss together, so that the things that we want, the things that we don't want, the things that, all the different scenarios, so that if we got into this position, how would we feel about X, Y, or Z, or what would be our plan? Yeah. Because you need to, David needs to advocate for me on those issues, because I'm not going to be able to. But we need to know what our opinion and feeling is on different things.
And I think
should we come to those scenarios? Because as I mentioned before, hypnobirthing isn't about having the perfect birth. It's about realizing that, okay, you may need a cesarean.
Yeah.
But if you were in that position, how would you deal with it? How would you feel about it? How would you, what would you like or not like?
And one of the parts of it was literally, I think for about an hour, the instructor basically was like, this is the biology, I suppose, the physical reaction of giving birth. These are the stages. These are the, what you can maybe expect or maybe not expect, like this isn't always common or whatever. And I think for me, that was really good because I didn't know any of that, because kind of how would I know as a man and B, someone who's never been through this even, you know, at all, would know any of these stages. So now almost by learning that, learning just the, this is what you this is what happens because this is what is designed to happen, all going well, obviously, I can be like, oh, right, okay. So that's the stages. Like, even just down to daft stuff. Well, not daft stuff, because it wasn't at the time. When things start to happen, you don't immediately have to go to the hospital. You should, you know, they recommended if you can kind of stay at home, keep relaxed until things really get going. I didn't know that.
Well, I think one of the major things that I think we all need to remember here is I don't have a bloody clue what's going on either. So David's saying, you know, it was I found X, Y, or Z. I don't grow up with an automatic handbook on how all this works just because I'm a woman.
Yeah.
I haven't got a bloody clue what's going on either. And that's okay. You know, if it's your first child, how would you have a clue what's going on unless you've been involved or your midwife yourself, or you've been involved in this process with somebody else? You just don't know. Like, just because I'm a woman doesn't mean to say I know anything about this.
Yeah, so that's true.
It was really just as likely as David is to panic in any situation, I'm likely to panic in that situation because we wouldn't have a clue what's going on. But because of the hypnobirthing, I feel like we are so much more empowered. I feel so much more empowered with knowledge of what's going on, what is expected of me, what my body is naturally trained to do, and what might happen or might not happen. And it feels so much better knowing that because David knows all that too, he can advocate on my behalf and he's just got my back because he knows what the hell's going on.
Yeah. I'd also mention that a lot of the techniques I have used generally when it comes to just like calm and stress relief from work, from general world stuff, you know, so it's not all, you know, related to babies, although in this case, that's what we're using it for. It's just general how to just calm.
Yeah. And I mean,
as you said, have a better day.
That's a big part of it. But there is so much to it.
There's and, specifics, obviously.
You know, I think that and it takes time afterwards. You know, there's a lot of homework. There's a lot of things that you have to put into practice because you don't just go, okay, well, that sounds good. I want that. It's like, no, I have to put these things into practice. And I think one of the best things about it was because it was a small group, it was easier to ask questions. You didn't feel silly putting your hand up or putting in your, or just opening your mouth and saying something or saying what your experience was about something.
Yeah, it was quite often someone would say, I've got a question, and they would ask it, and then the rest of the group would go, I was just thinking that.
Now, that's normally the case in any size of group, but the fact that it just felt like a safe space where you could open up, I think that was it. And I will say that I learned so much more at hypnobirthing class than I did in my antenatal class. So even if you take away all the breathing techniques and the calm and relaxation and all that, and you just focused on what I was taught about anatomy and the labor process and birth in general, so much more information. And that is because it's a smaller group. That is because you're allowed to spend more time on it. But you do have to pay for hypnobirthing.
Yeah, that's...
Your NHS antenatal classes were free. Hypnobirthing is not. But if you can afford to pay for hypnobirthing classes, then I would definitely recommend them and put the information that you've learned from the hypnobirthing course into practice, because it will not help unless you actually actively do something.
And we did it. We were the quote unquote youngest from a baby bump point of view in the room, and I think that to me that made good sense, because we'll have in theory more time to practice it, and even if our baby comes early, we'll have still had time to kind of lay the groundwork. So I'm not saying like sign up for week 7 or something, but you know, I thought that was quite a good time. I think we were there kind of late, like mid-20s?
Yeah, I think it was...
25-ish?
25, yeah. So week 25.
So that meant, in theory, we've got, you know, 15-ish weeks to put all of this into practice, to give it time to process.
But at the same time, if you can't afford hypnobirthing classes and you just have to go with the government-run NHS classes, that's fine, but just realise that there are lots of other resources out there. You know, go on YouTube and look at hypnobirthing births, or go, you know, find some information. There's also many books out there on hypnobirthing. So you can find out more information if you can't afford to go on the course. But I will say that the course was worth every single penny.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the best investments during this whole time. Other than like process. A good car seat that we got.
Yeah, but that's for later. That's an investment for when they're born. This is for while you're pregnant. So that is the second trimester. As I said, we will be back with a recap on the third trimester. But of course, the third trimester ends when you give birth. So we'll see how that all works out and how we're doing. If I hit week 40 and... You know, we don't have a bump yet.
Definitely have a bump.
We don't have a baby in the world yet. We will probably do something around then, just to talk about it while the third trimester stuff is fresh in our minds. But
while we still can.
While we still can. Yep. or I'll do a podcast while in early stages of labor. that would be
it's fine. I'll edit funny. That bit out.
Just edit out all the breathing.
Yeah, just heavy breathing into a microphone.
Yep. But yeah, if you have any questions about pregnancy in general or about the second trimester in particular, or you just want to leave a comment about how you felt during this period, or if you know other people that are going through things and you want to ask questions on their behalf, please feel free to contact us. Also contact us if, you know, you are a partner of someone who's giving birth, like David, because he has lots of things and advice that he would love to give.
Yep.
Not that he's completely clued up on everything, but he'll just give his honest two cents on things.
Yeah, pretty much. That's all I can do. But I think that that's important. I'm not going to be all la-di-da about it. I'll just tell you how it is. For me, at least. And then
yeah, so you can do that by emailing us at chasetheredgrape@outlook.com, or you can head over to Instagram and you can DM us there. You can also comment on the Instagram post that goes along with this episode. But that is it for this week, folks.
Yep.
And we will see you all next week for more fun chat and discussion. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.